Today's reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they discover the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Last week we considered what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ, what the hallmarks of his church might look like. First one we looked at was Christ's people. Today we look at this strange call to holiness. But what is holiness? How can we explore holiness in our own lives? We know that holy is an attribute or part of the character of God, what he is like. So how can we, mere human beings, be holy in the way that God himself is holy? The simple response to that is we can't. We can't be exactly the same as God is until we are called through into that new kingdom, that reclaimed heaven and earth, that restored relationship, and our nature is fully transformed into conformity and unity with the God who makes us. And if that was the whole answer to the question, we would now be saying amen and singing and getting out and getting home. But there is a little bit more to it than that, I think. Because the word holy is also used for something that is sanctified. We're good at big words in the church that can sometimes be challenging for people to really get to grips with. So when we say sanctified, we simply mean something that's set apart. Set apart from its normal use to this divine or godly use. All the items in the old temple were holy because they were set apart for the role that they played in worship in the temple and to bring glory to God. You go into some churches and the lectern, the table, the offering bowls all might be set apart at some point in time, usually when they were gifted or brought into the church for the first time, for their purpose within the life of the congregation. If they are set apart, technically they are holy, right? But it's still just a table. It's nothing more than a table. It's why and what we use it for that gives it a special significance. Within ourselves and our human nature, we may be unable to manifest holiness as part of who we are. But we can be sanctified. We can be set apart. And in that way, be holy and begin to become holy. We are put to a holy use. It's easy for us to fall into the trap that thinks that only the clergy are sanctified or set apart. Because we get fancy clothes with plastic bits around our neck and everything. And it doesn't help that when the church gathers to do that function, ordinations and inductions, we use that language. We separate the clergy from everybody else. And yet we are all a holy nation. We are all kings and priests before God, not just the folk at the front with the weird clothes. Holiness is one of the essential elements of God's nature that is required of his people, his whole people. Leviticus 19, be holy because the Lord your God is holy. I am holy. It's easy to say, but how can we work through this in our own lives? Peter gives some very practical advice. Rid yourself of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. In Colossians, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And that's in the present tense. As God's chosen people now, holy now, and dearly loved now, clothe yourself with. We are called to make a choice in the way that we live. If the cup of our life is full of stale water, how can God fill it with life-giving fresh water? We have to empty it out first. When we put these two readings side by side, we see the trading, the ridding ourselves of some things and putting on other things. The nature of our lives should be such that others look and see the difference in us. A quality of life that is fulfilling. A living that makes us truly whole and complete people. But we can't rid ourselves in a way that's easy. It's not straightforward. We don't just get up in the morning and say, I have decided today I'm going to be holy. You'll last about 10 seconds. It's a process that we give it another name, and a name that you'll all know and recognize. We call it discipleship. Discipleship, that process of being shaped and made into an image of Christ, is the process of sanctification. Being set apart is the process of being made holy in God's eyes, in God's presence. As part of this new living, we are called to crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We can be fully saved and yet remain immature. We are called, each of us, to grow up in God, not to live lives under the standards and priorities of the world and simply expect God to bless it. He won't. The hunger that is in the soul of everyone else can only be satisfied when we choose to eat at God's table. You can't hover between the table of the Lord and the table of the world. You can't look to jump between them and pick and mix. If you try to, you'll find that all this world offers seems sweet and delightful at first, but soon sours in the mouth and never truly satisfies. Only the feeding of God fills our soul. And through this feeding, we become holy, completely set apart in the world and yet citizens of heaven. As you come to him, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Our Lord was the very personification of holiness. He reinforced God's demands for holiness by insisting that his disciples have a higher quality of righteousness than the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus appealed for more than ceremonial holiness. He wanted a real change of heart and life. We know that he challenged the religious leaders. He criticized their efforts of clinging to the letter of the law, but their failure in knowing the lawgiver. The Pharisees sought to earn their way into heaven, jumping the barriers of the law. Jesus said no one can jump that high. No one can comply with the law fully in their own strength. He sought to make holy the disciples by letting them know not the law, but the lawgiver. In your most intimate relationships with others, is there not the sense in which you know what the other is thinking or how they will respond to certain things without even asking them? There are times when we're in the house and we're sitting having a conversation and Karen starts to ask me a question and gets about three words out her mouth and I've answered it because I know what the question is. I know what she's thinking. And it works the other way too. And if I'm out and we're doing stuff and like buying a present, for example, and I have a choice, I'll go, well, she's not going to like that. Oh, that's not for her. We know the other person so well, we don't have to ask them. It's almost ingrained in us. That's the point that God wants us to move to in our holiness. We become so ingrained with him that we don't need to ask. We know what he expects. We know what he wants. It becomes part of our nature. That is the process of being made holy. This is what Jesus was seeking to do, building it into the disciples. A knowledge of the Father, a knowledge of God. When we fall in love with God, the rules disappear. The law fades. Because we will naturally seek to live in his love. And this is what the Pharisees missed. And so the question is, how much do you love the Lord? Are you feeling uncomfortable? Because it's a hard question. Does it unsettle you? I think we would all look and see, and if we looked at, examined ourselves, we would see we could love God more. The Scots, we are not good at expressing things like love and letting that be an open expression of who we are. You know what it's like. Someone says, I love you, and you go, very good, aye, very well. Yeah. Punch them on the shoulder, go, yeah, like you too. You know, we're not good. You go to some other nations, who are far more exuberant in expressing their love. And it'd be far more healthy if we could get some of that in our system. And yet, God so loved the world. Didn't he punch it on the shoulder? He didn't get embarrassed about it. You know the rest. He sent his own son. We are called to love God in the way that he loves us. And for me, that's the turning point of holiness. Our relationship with our Father is not one based on rules, commandments. It is one that's based wholly and completely in love. To love him and be loved by him. And a love that will transform us. Because you are, present tense, you are a chosen people right now. You are a royal priesthood right now. You are a holy nation right now. Because you belong to God. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. If that's who we are we living it? Are we embracing it? Or are we holding back? Are we doing that kind of slightly, oh, I'm a wee bit uncomfortable about this. It's going to make me a weirdo. Well, God wants you to be a weirdo. It's okay to be weird with God. He's kind of weird himself. Because he can transform the world using us. He can influence the whole world using us. That's weird. Because I know what I'm like. And you know what you're like. Can we really do that? God says yes. God wants us to reflect his love into the world. He wants us to reflect him. And if he is holy, we have to be holy too. To see that reflection clearer, brighter. As he who has called you is holy, you are to be holy in all of your conduct. So there's a starting place. As our lives come into harmony with our faith, we find spiritual growth in our lives. Dissonance and tensions are the result of either a need for a change in our life or a call to grow in our faith, and usually both at the same time. The greatest challenge and difficulty in preaching on this theme is that it's completely relational. If I gave you a list of things to do, rules, laws to obey, that's great. We could tick them off. Makes it dead easy. But when I say you have to love God, that's, how do I list that? How do we detail that? How do we explore what that means for each of us? Because what it means for me is going to be different for what it means for each of you. And yet we're called to do the same thing. See, told you. Not an easy answer. God is not done with you. Even if you've been a disciple for generations, for decades, God is not finished with you. You're not the finished article. And even if you've been a follower of Jesus for a few years, even a few months, even a few days, he is not finished with you either. You are not the finished article. We are all called on this process of transformation. And what that might challenge us to do is surprising. think of yourself back perhaps many years when you first set out in this journey of faith. What were you like? Don't get embarrassed about it. It was who you were, so you don't need to get ashamed of it. I think back on who I was and go, oh, dearie me. And yet, God wasn't done with me. He wasn't finished with me at the point I said, I believe. That was just the start. From there, it's been a gradual transformation, a gradual setting apart, a gradual making holy. So gradual that you don't even notice it. It's like the old story of put a frog in boiling water, it will jump out. Put it in cold water and warm it up. It'll stay there because it gets used to the temperature. It's the same thing. God surrounds us and gradually warms us. We don't even see it. We don't even recognize it until we look back. Each of us is called for a divine purpose. Each one of you. You might be just waiting to find out what it is. God is no respecter of age or gender or anything. Just read the Bible. Read through how often he uses somebody very old or very young. God chooses who he will choose. He uses those who are willing, generally, sometimes willing a wee bit reluctantly. So the question is, on this journey towards holiness, are you willing to grow in him? Are you willing to go where he calls you to go? Are you willing to do the things he asks you to do? And with every step of agreement and accord with God's purpose and plan for your life is one step closer to holiness. We can walk together as a company of believers, as a family of God, to be that holy people in this city, in this place, a people who by their very lives simply demonstrate that they are God's. That may challenge you to have to change, to be more open, to be more direct about whose you are and who you follow. It may cause you to change some of the things you do. Stop doing some things and start doing other things. It may cause you to help the tech team out, join the music, help greet folk at the door. These are obvious things. These are all church things. It might cause you to speak to your neighbor, or worse, your family. He might challenge you just to be his more. And the only way we can do that is to spend time looking up. Gaze into his holiness so that we are lost in wonder, joy, and praise. I always think that the challenge for the church is that once people get beyond that first flush of faith, we settle. We settle. Oh, that's it, I'm in. I'm one of the crew now. That's me done. I'll just sit here for the next 30 years, 40 years. 50 years, and that's it. I'm one of the good guys. And God's going, no, read my word. Moses, he could have just sat there in a palace. Is that what was God's plan for him? No. Gideon could have quite happily sat in his wine press making wine. Is that his call? No. What about the disciples? What about Matthew, the tax collector? He was making a killing. He had a life of luxury. Yeah, everybody hated him, but he was high. He had the money. He didn't need friends. Think of the transformation in his life. But it began with a journey towards God. Take time, my friends, my brothers and sisters, to gaze into the one who loves you. Really look, spend time gazing, not talking. When we say we need to spend more time in prayer, we obviously think that means I need a bigger list. I need a bigger, huger, more complete, complex list. Prayer should start in silence, listening. How can we hear God say to us that he loves us if we're too busy talking about the things that worry us? If we stop and listen and just turn our hearts to worship, God speaks into that. And all these other things we have on our list, we forget about them. They become irrelevant. God will deal with that because he knows our needs before we open our mouths. So holiness becomes and is to be just a part of who we are. Does it make it easy? Does not make it straightforward? At times, it is a struggle and a fight and a wrestle and a determination to stay with God through this process of change. But when you come through, when you look back, then you see where God has led you. Then you see where he is taking you. And we end up living a holy life in everyday things, from doing the shopping to speaking to our neighbors, we become holy people, belonging to God. That's what I think, anyway. You might have very different views. You can feel free to share them with me at some point. Let's pray. Loving and gracious Father, we are so grateful that you call us not into a relationship of rules and regulations, but into a relationship of love. And when we think of those who we love and who love us, we know and we can see that sometimes that relationship goes through spells of hot and cold. We go through the ups and downs of life. And yet when we are committed fully to someone, we can see them all through to a newness. Call on us through the power and presence of your Spirit to renew each day our commitment to you, to walk with you, to gaze into your holiness, to be shaped and directed in accordance with your plan and purpose for us, so that we too may become holy. And so we take a moment just in our hearts, not with lists or words, but just to turn our thoughts, our focus to you, O God. Let us gaze into your beauty and be reminded of your love for us. teach us the way of holiness, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.